Good evening.
For those who do not know me, my name's Jim Hobbs, and I am one of the two ministers at the Brunswick Church of Christ in Southport, North Carolina. I'm currently there in the midst of a study entitled The Life of Christ, and I'd like to take a small portion of that for just a few minutes tonight. So if everyone has their Bible, we will be reading out of our Bibles. I'm a big believer in reading out of Bibles. So let's start tonight in Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. And we'll begin two verses here. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "You shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent you.'" I am. When we get to the Gospel of John, we find Jesus finishing this statement. Not once, but seven times, Jesus proclaims, "I am." Seven pictures, seven vivid pictures of Jesus. Pictures that give us a glimpse of his very nature, of his very character. Each layer adds for us understanding of who Jesus is, who he was then and who he is for us now. Jesus says, "I am." John 6:35, "I am the bread of life." John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." John 10:9, "I am the door." 10:11, "I am the good shepherd." 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth and the life." And finally, John 15:1, "I am the true vine." John, chapters 4 through 8, we find two of Jesus's I ams, plus another truly amazing declaration. So let's turn to John 6:35. Read what Jesus has to say there. John 6:35, "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" Let's go back a page to John 4. We know John 4 is the woman at the well. John 4, verse 10. "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" Let's go to verse 13. "Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.'" And then let's turn back over to John 8:12. John 8:12. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Here in John 7 and 8, the context is the Festival of Tents. And in the Festival of Tents, it remembered and celebrated the wilderness wanderings of the nation of Israel after they had escaped slavery in Egypt. But also within that festival included this. They had a ceremony that remembered the water in the wilderness, and a ceremony that remembered the light that was provided by the pillar of fire. Let's think about what the pillar of fire did. The pillar of fire offered protection from God. The pillar of fire also offered guidance. The pillar of fire was the very representation of God being with them. And then where did the water come from? The water came from the rock, right? So Jesus in John is being described as the presence of God on earth. He provides spiritual bread. He provides spiritual water. He provides spiritual light, as opposed to the physical bread that was given in the form of manna in the wilderness, as opposed to the water that came out of the rock in the wilderness, as opposed to the physical light that guided the nation of Israel in the wilderness. So tonight, I just want to briefly take one of these statements. I am the bread of life. But notice he didn't stop with that. If you remember when we read it, he said, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. So, of course, the background here, when Jesus proclaimed, I am the bread of life, is in John chapter 6. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And the crowds were seeking Jesus again because they had been given a free buffet the day before. And they were looking for another free meal. And Jesus is trying to change the narrative in John 6, 26 and 27. He's trying to change the narrative from the physical to the spiritual. And some in the crowd had the audacity to say, well, Jesus, we want to see a sign. Well, the day before he just fed 5,000 people. But they wanted to see a sign. So I'll ask you this question. I'll answer it for my children, Jesse and Haley. What's your favorite snack? What is your favorite snack? Jesse's is sugar-coated, covered Pop-Tarts. And Haley's is sugar-coated chocolate cereal. Now, I'm going to ask you, how long is it before they're back in there looking for another snack? It fills them up for a little while, and then that sugar goes away. And they're back in there looking more Pop-Tarts and more chocolate-covered cereal in a matter of a few hours. Because they were only filled temporarily, and soon they were hungry again. But we read in John 6:35, you shall never hunger, and you shall never thirst. Why? Because Christ is all-sufficient, correct? If you still have your Bible open, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Speaking of Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. God, through Christ, desires for us to be fully fed. Does anyone really think that God would just give someone half a cup of water if they were thirsty? Or just feed him halfway? God wants us, through his Son, to be fully fed. With an overflowing cup, right? All you can handle. Why? Because he's preparing each one of us for this life and for the next life. But there's something required of us. God, through his Son, offers us overflowingly all that we can take in. But is he going to force feed it down our mouths? Are we going to be held down and our mouths opened and a funnel put in and poured God's word down us? No, that's not the way it works, is it? What's required of us? Here are some things that we can pray for ourselves. We can pray for strength. We can pray for commitment. We can pray for courage. We can pray for personal motivation to desire God's truth, because he offers it to us abundantly. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your what? Truth. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Your word is truth. He gives us all that we need. Colossians 2:9. Colossians 2:9. What a description here. Talking about Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He has it all. It's there for us if we're willing to listen to him. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 13, we're working together as Christians toward the fullness of Christ. We're talking about being fed, right? We're talking about being fed. How are we fed? We're fed by the Word of God. Last verse, Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify, the words hagios. Consecrate them, separate them, make them holy, make them different. How? By your truth. Your word, logos. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word, God's word. The word of Christ, logos. Your word is truth. God's word is totally sufficient. He's given us everything we need to spend eternity with him. Our responsibility is to have the intestinal fortitude, the courage, and the wisdom to pay attention and to be obedient to it. We hear what God has to say, which is spoken through his word, through his Son. We hear what Christ has to say. But not only do we hear it, we believe it. And we believe it to the point. We believe it to the point we're willing to live for God's will and not our own will, and that is repentance. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then in an act of obedience, true faith, following God's desire for us as spoken through his Son, having our sins washed away in baptism, and at the same time being allowed to enter into his spiritual body, which is the Lord's church, which is the beginning, and then being willing to live a life faithful to God's word. Tonight, if you be subject to this invitation, I invite you to come forward at this time as we stand and we sing.